Take your Bible and open up to Exodus chapter number 3 in the Word of God today. Exodus chapter number 3. As you stand, this is part 3 of a series that we've been in now entitled The Heroes of the Faith Series. And we've been looking at the story of Moses over the last several weeks. So we've been in the book of Hebrews. And we saw, first of all, the faith that it took of his parents, his mother, to hide him, and what faith it took, and boy, how God used that circumstance in a great way. And then we saw the faith of Moses, and the faith that it took to walk away from everything that he knew, everything that he was comfortable with. He kills an Egyptian for beating a Hebrew and an Israelite, and he, out of anger, kills that man, and Pharaoh finds out about it and wants to take the life of Moses. Moses then in chapter number 2 goes on the run and finds himself working for a shepherd, a priest by the name of Jethro, there in the land of Midian. He takes Jethro's daughter, Zipporah, and marries her, and they have a son. At the end of chapter number 2, we're told in the Word of God that the Israelites once again are crying out to God to rescue them from this horrible bondage that they are in. They are slaves. They are working. It's not going very well. And once again, they're crying out to God to save them from this bondage. And so this brings us to chapter number 3. Chapter number 3, and for the next couple of moments, I really want us to look kind of at this subject. It's not on the screen, but we're going to be really looking at the calling of God in our lives for the next couple of moments. And at times, how hard it is to follow the calling of God as individuals, as Christians in our life. I want you to look at chapter number 3. Look at verse number 1 of the book of Exodus. The Bible says this: "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led a flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." Now for just a moment, and we're going to continue on, so I know this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, and we'll continue on here just for a moment, but I want all of us to ponder this question as we dive into it. Doesn't matter if you're a visitor, doesn't matter if you've been here for the last 50 years, or what life stage you're in, grandkids, or just a teenager, doesn't matter. I want you to think about this. Why do you live life? Think about it. No, not for somebody else, not looking at somebody. Think about this for you. Why are you here? What is your calling? What will you as an individual live for tomorrow? What will you live for? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. Lord, it's very personal. It speaks to us. God, why preserve this passage? Yes, we know historically speaking, much is taking place here. But God, what is in it for us? What do you have for us? Fathers, we dig in. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth, to make application. Father, I ask, Lord, as we walk out these doors here in just a moment, that our hearts would be encouraged. Father, that our souls today would be encouraged. We'd be convicted. Where we change where we need to change. God, I'm going to ask a prayer right now. Lord, I'm just going to ask this. Lord, please don't let pride get in the way of us growing today. We don't know it all. Lord, there is not a person in here, including myself, that has reached the apex of their Christianity. We haven't. Father, help us to grow this morning. And we need you. Fill us, Lord. Fill this place with your Spirit. Take away the distractions, Lord. We love you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What if we said for a moment that you and I could serve God in spite of our weaknesses? What if you and I could ponder for a moment that the demands of following God can sometimes in our lives seem a little overwhelming? Have you ever in your life felt like God is calling you to do something? He's calling you to step out by faith. It does not matter. There are some in this room, Pastor Foe, that I would say have been saved for 50 plus years. There are those in this room, Brother Ben, I'm looking over here at you, Miss Katie, who have been saved for just a couple of months now, and others that have been saved over the last several weeks. You don't have deep roots in the Word of God. It doesn't matter where you're at. Have you ever felt like there's been a time in your life where you felt like it was going to be kind of tough to step out by faith? You were kind of reluctant at following God, whether it be in something simple like tithing or maybe stepping out by faith and purchasing something or stepping out by faith and restoring a relationship. I would say that all of us at one time or another have felt a little bit overwhelmed when it came to serving God. But if we put it this way, if you have felt that reluctancy in your life before, you are in really good company. The Bible even talks about in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, who greeted God's call of services with really kind of two excuses. He said in Jeremiah 1:6, then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. He said, Lord, I know you want me to do this, but I'm really an incapable speaker. To be honest with God, I'm a little bit too young. We look at the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, pondered the weighty responsibilities of ministry and kind of began to wonder and ponder and even penned these words in 2 Corinthians. To the one we are the savior of death unto death, and to the other the savior of life unto life. And who, think about this, who is sufficient for these things? Paul began to even ponder and said, who is equal to such a task? Who in the world can do these things that, God, you want me to do in my life? Now listen, for the single moms in here and the single dads or the grandparents in here or the parents or the teenager, all of us have been called to something. Everybody in this auditorium, you have a responsibility. Every single one of us, it's not just the pastors that are in here today. It's not just the Sunday school teachers or those that played in the orchestra or choir. Every one of us have a responsibility. God is calling you and I to something greater than what you and I just think life is. It's a bigger dream. It's a better life. It's more joy, peace, happiness than you and I could ever comprehend. But it's going to take some faith for you and I. It's going to take you and I pondering for a moment, thinking, praying, perhaps even fasting too. Okay, God, what do you want from me in my life? What do you and I live for tomorrow? Is it just another Monday night football game? Is it just to finish out teenagers, volleyball or soccer? Is it just for some, well, I just kind of live for, you know, Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune, or I just kind of live for the news. I don't even know what my calling is. To be honest with you, Pastor, I don't even know why I'm here. Guess what? The Bible's very clear. You and I were not whisked away. We were not just, we got saved and boom, we're out here. Every one of us has a calling, a responsibility in our life. We look at the story of Moses. I want us to look at, first of all, a shocking call. Number one, a shocking call. Look at verse number 3 here with me, or excuse me, chapter 3. Look at verse number 1. It says this. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and led the flock to the backside of a desert. He's leading these sheep. He is now working a life. You see, it was a shocking that the prince of Egypt would now find himself in such a lowly circumstance. Tending sheep was not reserved for the great. Tending sheep was not something that you said, well, they're high in society, they get to keep the sheep. No, honestly, this is kind of a minimum wage job, if not lower than minimum wage. You were not chosen, you were just kind of, you go out there, you do this, because perhaps maybe you were low on the totem pole, or perhaps you were not high up, or perhaps you didn't have the money. And so this was just kind of the prince of Egypt, or we're talking about Moses, the one who lived in luxury, the one who had it all, the one who for the rest of his life, it was just going to be grandiose and wonderful. It was going to be living the high life. And it was never going to have to be worrying about food. It was never going to have to be worrying about working. It was just, to be honest with you, Moses, if you looked at his life right before this, really truly did have it made. But we know by faith in Hebrews, he gave it all up. So remember, he had it all, but now he's keeping sheep. Comprehend this today, Christian. Before we're ready for our most significant work, sometimes God waits until we've learned the lessons of humility and brokenness. Your life today, think about it. Maybe you're going through difficult circumstances. You and I must always look to Him. You and I must always follow His will. Let Him be our guide. Look, I don't know your story today. And maybe you're sitting here today and it's week number 7. And you're still addicted to the addiction of whatever sin it is in your life, whether it be pornography or whether it be alcohol or whether it be some addiction, whatever you might be addicted to. Maybe you just week after week, you just can't get over it. Perhaps you're here today and you're just struggling with the gossip or the bitterness or the pain of yesteryear. Perhaps right now you're sitting here and maybe you're sitting with your spouse, but this past week came up the words of divorcement. Or maybe this past week there was that argument that you just can't get through. Or maybe you're sitting here today and the circumstances of life, whether it be in your health and that doctor telling you that stage 4 or stage 3 or stage 2 or somebody's still in the hospital struggling with COVID. Or perhaps it's financial. And right now we understand that our economy's kind of in a wayward type of mode right now. And maybe you're struggling with your job, or maybe you're a manager and can't find people to hire. Whatever the case might be, listen very carefully. If you're to one of these types, then maybe you're in here today and you're not on a mountaintop. You're kind of in a valley. You're in a low spot in your life. You feel like nobody cares, and you feel like it's down. And maybe even I'll use this word, it's discouraging and or even depressing. Friend, no matter where you're at, if you're walking through a valley, if you're going through a storm, understand, God has not left you, friend. He's teaching you. He's molding us. At time we use the illustration for the Word of God that we are the clay and we're in the potter's hand. That means this, we are nothing. We're just a clump of clay and we give our lives to God, and God puts us on the wheel and it begins to mold us and it begins to make us. And every once in a while, there's something that, some impurities that are in there that He's got to take out and He's got to get rid of. And maybe it's a valley and maybe it hurts and maybe we don't understand. God, I really like that in my life, and I was very comfortable in my life, and God, I don't really necessarily like what you're doing. But the potter says, you just stay on there, friend. I got you. I'm taking care of you. That's why I love the verse that we use so often. It says this. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who called according to His purpose. Understand, Moses had it made. Moses was comfortable. Moses was happy. But friend, in life, God did not call us just to live and be comfortable and just kind of go on and just get to the end and arrive safely at death. No, God saved us to be dangerous. God saved us for a higher calling. God saved us, friend, so that you and I could go out and not just be part of the world, but that you and I could go out and turn the world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know not always is just like grandiose and wonderful. The guy goes from hobnobbing, and the guy goes from living life and out servants and maid servants. Everybody just, wow, there's Moses. There's the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Boy, there he is, out to the backside of a desert. I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, but I mean, he's working for his father-in-law. Good night. Talk about low, man. I mean, he's just got it. I'm just joking. Good grief. Some of you need to lighten up, okay? That's, no doubt. He has gone to a place of wow to a place of ooh. Look at verse number 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, watch, in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked. Now, hold on. Everybody look up here. Watch. Don't. Everybody look up here. Now everybody's looking up here. You're wanting to read. You can read in a minute. Now watch. Comprehend that what we are about to read is not a fairy tale. This is not the Hallmark Channel. This is not Disney. What we're about to read, check it out, historically really happened. How many believe that? Say amen. Really happened. Now watch. Look at verse number 2. An angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. And the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Now, time out for a moment. Well, everybody, when we were young, I was homeschooled, we used to have this teacher. And we did videos, it was actually VCR tapes, through a Becca, and we put it in. And we had this one teacher, and Mrs. Howe, and she would say, now I want you to put on your thinking caps, as she would say. I want you to put on your thinking caps. That means, at that time I didn't understand it, but I want you to think, critically think for a moment, okay? Everybody tune in. Here's a man, he just had it all, now he's out in the desert, working for his father-in-law, and he's keeping the sheep, he's on the backside of a desert, most likely he is all by himself. Here is a bush that is burning, which some historians say would not have been that big of a deal. It's very desert. It would have been very easy for something like this to have taken place, but it would have burned and it would have been done. It would not have been so out of the ordinary to see a bush that is burning. But for some of you pyromaniacs in here, you would like that. Like, it would be boring. And you remember how kids, did y'all ever know any kids that just loved fire? Pastor Blake, you could probably tell stories of teenagers that, you know, you're going over to the Hughes house and have a bonfire, and Brother Hughes, I'm just telling you, might want to watch some of these boys, because they get, I don't know what it is about fire. Am I the only one? Y'all like fire? Anybody? Yeah. What's wrong with this place today? I'm just telling you, we like fire. And so we're putting the stick in. Why are we putting the stick in? To light it on fire so we can carry it around and play swords. You know, there's some of you that when you saw the fire, it would get your attention. But this fire did not stop burning. It kept burning. The bush was not consumed. If we took some lighter fluid in here today and brought a plant in, or let's just use this flower right here. If we use the fluid overflow, we got a nice little flower here. If we took some lighter fluid and put some flame on this, and then took a lighter and then lit this baby up, it would not take long, and this thing would be pretty. Whew, it's actually dusty. Anyway. Oh, I'm going to have an asthma attack. It would not take very long, and that thing would be consumed. We'd all kind of watch. Wow, it's amazing. It's burnt. But here's Moses. He's by himself. The only thing around him is sheep, okay? And the thing's burning, and it does not burn up. Think about it. He's going to watch it for a little while. I mean, can you imagine? He says, nobody to talk to. Lambs, sheep, I don't know about y'all, but is that thing not burning up? Well, be quiet. What do you know? It's not burning up. And it keeps burning. And it keeps burning. It keeps burning. And you begin to think, like, what in the world? The bush is still there. Do you and I comprehend that for God, that is nothing. For you and I, it's impossible. This begins to show us a bright and miraculous illustration of the inextinguishable power and glory of God. That means this, listen very carefully. It doesn't matter where you're at. Maybe you are a Moses today. Maybe you are on the backside of a desert. Maybe you are wondering what's going on with finances or marriage or raising kids or grandkids or the world or politics. Maybe you're out there and this just doesn't seem like this is the life that I would have chosen for myself. This is not the life I imagined 10 years ago. Maybe you're like Moses and you're out there and you are very lonely, but yet here is the very power of God. And let's remember that our God, Jesus Christ, is powerful. If you believe that, say amen today. The more you trust in the arm of the flesh, the less you're going to see the power of God. It was Dr. Green who said so many years ago, he said the power of God has not in the least bit been diminished over the past 2,000 years. Our Lord, listen very carefully, and I quote, our Lord still sits on His great throne and His train still fills the temple. He still walks on the wings of the wind. He still rides on the backs of the cherubim. He still is triumphant champion from Calvary, and hell still bends to His will and sin and death has not lost their hold on those who rest in the shadow of His presence. And the God who calmed the storms and raised up the dead men to life and multiplied the fishes and loaves to feed the thousands is the same God that you and I serve today. That means this. It doesn't matter what illness you're going through. It doesn't matter if you're just in this discouraging type of mode, or I'm going to go as far to say you are in deep depression or deep sin or have deep anger issues, or you're bitter at the past and how you've been treated, or your fears in 2020 and 2021 have totally consumed you. Friend, it is time to stop trusting the news channel. It is time to stop trusting everything that you read on Facebook. It is time to stop trusting in religion. And it is time to start trusting the very God who created the universe. That's the God of power. The Bible says that what exceeding greatness of His power toward usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him up from the dead and set Him on His own right hand in heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not in His of this world, but also which that is to come. That means this, friend. You and I serve a powerful God. Now, Christian, listen, not all of us like to hear this, but I'm just going to say, sometimes God uses things in our life to very much get our attention. Very much get our attention. For Moses, it was a burning bush. It got his attention. Dads, what's it going to take for God to get your attention today? Excuse me, moms, what's it going to take for God to get your attention? Teenager, I want you to think about this. Over here in the overflow and all the way across, I want you to ponder this. What's it going to take for God to get your attention? Because He wants it. God desires it. This God, this all-powerful God, got His attention, and now He's wants to, and I quote, why the bush is not burnt. What is it that has our attention today? News, kids, Facebook, death, circumstances? You see, friend, God is always working in our life. But you and I have to lift up our eyes and look at the world around us every week and see what God is doing in our ordinary lives. You see, sometimes God will use unusual things to get our attention. And so therefore, you and I have to understand and comprehend, okay, God, whatever I'm going through, whether it be a good time or whether it be a down time, or whether I'm at college or whether I'm here or whether I'm raising kids or whether I'm praying for my grandkids or whether I'm about to graduate from high school, whatever the case might be, you and I living our ordinary lives have to open up our spiritual eyes at times and realize God doesn't just work in the local church. He works 7 days a week, friend. He's trying to get our attention. I think sometimes, honestly, Pastor Dan, Pastor Dan, I just want to tell you, welcome back. I even got to say hey yet or give you and Tammy a hug. Welcome back. But Pastor Dan, you've been in ministry a long time. I know you'll agree with this. I think at times we get our eyes so focused on the world and what's around us that we have forgotten that there is a book called Revelation that has already laid all of this out for us. Is anybody with me on that? Like, Zuckerberg is not God. God is God, and His Word is always right. Use all the fact checkers you want. There's many who have tried to bring this Bible down, and this Bible still stands, friend. It's inerrant. It's inspired. It's preserved in its perfect form for you and I living today in this culture. And you check this out. It has never been wrong, not once. Anybody in here ever been wrong before? Raise your hand. No, go ahead, raise your hand. You've been wrong at least one time in your life. Okay, that's good. How many have never been wrong before? Raise your hand. You're lying. You're lying. You just made a mistake. There's nobody perfect in here, but we have a perfect Word that's guiding us and directing us and helping us. But we got to open our eyes. We got to get back to it. Look at verse number 4. Look what it says. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him. Now, he's looking at the bush. Now, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, verse number 5, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Now, if it wasn't strange, or can I use this word, weird enough that the bush is not burning, you're in the backside of a desert, you're pretty low in your life, you're working for your father-in-law, you're going to be there for 40 years total, doesn't seem like things are going very well. Now a bush is burning. You think you are going crazy. You're rubbing your eyes. You're kicking dirt on it. The thing never consumes. And then the bush starts burning. And then the bush starts talking. Think about it. It's talking. Now, it just happened again. It happened last week. If I hold this crown down here, I could talk for a little while. And then Surrey talks to me. Now, let's just be honest. That's not unusual. I got to actually figure out how to turn that off because it did it a couple weeks ago and it ruined the message. But nonetheless, Surrey I can comprehend. Surrey will talk, okay? If this thing started talking to me, we got a problem. You'd be putting me in white and shipping me off in an ambulance somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Give me some pills because it's talking to me. Now, this thing's never spoken to anyone. And if anyone says it's ever spoken to them, Pastor Dan, let's not hire them. Okay, I'm just saying. The bush starts talking. And the bush calls his name. And Moses answers. And the first thing that comes out is, remove your shoes. You're in my presence now. I love this passage because God didn't speak to Moses in an elaborate sanctuary or an ornate temple. But he found Moses in the rugged wilderness surroundings of Moses' daily walk as a shepherd. If you and I are attuned to God's presence, even in our commonplace surroundings, they can become, excuse me, friend, holy ground. God wants you and I not to talk to Him once a week when we walk into this auditorium. God is more interested in a relationship with us that does not involve just one service or stand up or find your Bible or you're good to go and okay, you're good until Wednesday night or if you're not a Wednesday night person until the next Sunday morning. No, God is interested in our everyday lives, my friend. That means this. When you and I sit in here today, we don't have to talk to God just at an altar. We don't have to talk to God just at an altar call. You and I don't have to get so caught up and, well, I guess God only meets with us in here. No, friend. Comprehend this, that God is everywhere all the time. It's part of who He is. And that means that you and I can talk to Him anytime. You and I can talk to Him anywhere. You and I ought to talk to Him all the time. You and I ought to talk to Him no matter if it be on a fishing trip or if it's in the car. Or maybe we're exercising, or maybe we're on the way to work, or maybe we're just getting ready in the morning. Friend, listen to me very carefully. God wants to be very involved in the ordinary lives that you and I live. It's not that God waited till He got back. It's not that God found Him in some place that every day He was. No, listen. It's not that it's just church, or it's not that it's just religion. No, God found Him doing what He had done every single day. He was just living His life. Now listen very carefully. God has a plan and a purpose for every one of us in this room. But it's going to look a little bit different. Let's be honest. But Titus, my life, if you don't mind staying up, my life, can you stand up for me? My life is different. Why are you so mad? My life is so different from Brother Jim's. And maybe over in the overflow, you can see this. It's just, it's different. We work different jobs. We work here at the church, but we have different jobs. We have different families. I have my wife. You have your wife. We're different men. Now listen very carefully. But Eric, if you don't mind staying up. But Eric's over here. But Eric, you live a very different life. You have a different job. It's just different. It's Emma, right? Emma, do you mind standing up? Don't be too shy. Oh, come on. Good grief. You love this. Just kidding. Here's Emma. Emma lives a very different life. Carrie's over here in the overflow. Carrie, if you don't mind standing up. Brother Johnny Hawkins, if you don't mind standing up in the overflow. Here, look. Watch. How about Ben? Katie, why don't y'all stand up over here in the overflow? Brother George, why don't you stand up? Brother Coates, why don't you stand up? Listen. Let me go all the way around. Look, watch. Brother Drew, why don't you stand up? Okay? So we're looking. Jeff Jones, my brother-in-law, why don't you stand up? Everybody's rolling their eyes now. Good grief. When you're the pastor, you can call on who you want. Now watch. For all they stand up, everybody who's standing up, look at me for just a moment. We all have different lives. We have different schedules. I mean, from some of you who are just married, Ben and Katie, to working hard hours, Brother Hawkins to Brother Coates, you're like a scientist or something crazy like that, Brother Drew, and you're busy and raising a family and have a wife and soccer coach, Brother Eric working and Emma going to school each and every day. And what grade are you in, Emma? 10th? You're a freshman, okay, so 9th, and Brother Titus working here at the church, and Brother Jeff Jones just moved his whole family here and working. Now look, we all have different lives. So who is God going to speak to the most this week? Brother George? Is it you? Who's God going to speak to the most? It's all of us. I got to bring us up here and, okay, obviously pastor's going to be at the top because, bless God, I've been called to ministry. I'm up here. And let's see here. Probably, Brother Titus, you've been saved the longest, so God will speak to you next. And then let's look around. Brother Coates, you're pretty, you're studious of the word. You're here. And then Brother Drew. And then, maybe we'll put Carrie up here. And then Katie. And then Emma. And then we'll kind of fit. No, let's check. Woohoo. Stop. God wants to speak to every one of us that are standing right now where we're at. Excuse me. God has a purpose, Emma. God has a purpose, Ben, for every one of our lives. I'm afraid for all those over here in the overflow, and I keep talking to you, but let me talk to you teenagers over here in the overflow because there's a bunch of you back here. You don't have to wait until your brother Hawkins' age for God to use your life. Let me tell you something, Luke. Let me tell you something, Cole. God has something for you in your life right now. Anybody agree with that? Amen. You have to be saying that, well, you didn't call on me. I guess Emma's the only teenager he's going to use. No, let me put it this way. Every one of you, we got college students, Paige and Brother Rogers, the others who are here right now, those of you who are back from college, you have to wait until you're 22, 23, 24 for God to use you. God wants to talk to us right now. You may be seated. Check this out. What is your burning bush this week? What is it that's going to be a shocking call where God is trying to get a hold of your attention and talk to you? Because when God does get a hold of you, listen, watch. When God gets a hold of you, it's not always. I'm not one of these preachers like, well, bless God, if you don't get, here's how He gets a hold of you. You're going to lose an arm or somebody's going to die. You're going to get a horrible car accident. No, I'm not God and I'm not the Holy Spirit. God's going to get a hold of us however He wants to. He's going to get our attention if we are saved. And sometimes it is shocking. And when God does get a hold of us, here is where He starts. Look. You're talking to someone that's just not a God, little g. You're not talking to somebody who's just here for a little while and then gone. No, who you are talking to now, friend, who you are talking to now, son, who you are talking to now, daughter, you are talking to the God of the universe. And here's what He said. Look with me at verse number 6. Moreover, He said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. You see, friend, when you meet God, you and I don't think are going to be as bold as we think we are. At the very name of Jesus, listen, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Philippians said it like this, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Listen, why? To the glory of God the Father. Friend, if you and I think one day that we're going to get to heaven, and boy, I'm telling you what, you just wait till I get to heaven. I got a thing or two to say to God. Boy, I'm telling you, when I get there, I'm just going to tell him, God, I just want to know what's up and how come. Let me tell you something, friend. That is so irreverent. That is so opposite of what the Word of God says. Friend, you and I are not going to be equals with God. No, there will be a day where you and I will see Him, and I truly believe that just like Moses, you and I will cower knowing who we are and knowing who He is, knowing the life that we have lived and knowing what He did for us. Friend, there is no fist in His face. There is no, I want to know why, buddy. No, friend. God is not a buddy. He is the God of the universe. He has always existed. He exists today and He will always exist. He is not just a cuss word. He is not something to just drag His name through the mud. No, friend. His name ought to be exalted. Why? Because He's Jesus Christ. And He's God. No. This is not Buddha, Muhammad, God. No, friend. He is above all these false gods. Allah is not our God. He is God. He will be exalted. Friend, let me put it this way. He must increase, and you and I must decrease. When God gets a hold of our hearts and our lives, let me tell you something, teenager, listen very carefully. You and I better not sit there and say, well, it's about time, God. I knew you were going to show up. I knew it was going to be a circumstance like this. I've been reading of stuff like this since I was a kid in Pastor Pirate or Awana. And so, wow, God, thank you for finally showing up. Now, I tell you what I want to do. Here's what I want you to do, God. No, friend. That's not how it works. No. Moses knew. Moses is not ignorant. God said, I am God, the God of and filled in all the places. Moses knew. At that moment, his face hit the ground. What's it going to take, Christian? What's it going to take for us to really change our country? Oh, did you hear who's running in 2024? Oh, if we could just get him in the White House, boy, I'm telling you, we're going to be set, friend. That's what we said in 2016. And 12. And 2008. And 2004. Remember 2000? And 1996. And she would just keep on going right through. Boy, if we can just, we really got to pray. Because, boy, if so-and-so gets in, it's really going to change America. Boy, America will be just how it used to be. Okay, great, good. Let's pray. Let's vote. It's all right. Let's do it. But that's not what's going to change America. Oh, what's going to change Cross Point Baptist Church? You ready for this? Here's what's going to change it. Oh, man. Woohoo! Here we go. Oh, here's what's going to change it. If we could just get a coffee shop in the back, boom! Bold roast, breakfast roast, any kind of roast. You bring it in, we'll drink it up. We get coffee in here, whoosh! I'm telling you, we're going to be blowing this place up. Wow, really, coffee? Oh, if we just get some gray colors on the wall. Gray is in. I don't know if you've seen, but gray is the color of the day. Before you go making fun, y'all had orange in your day, so don't even go there, okay? Shag carpet, anybody remember that? You had an asthma attack just laying on it for good, great goodness sakes. Understand? Oh, if we just, boy, I'm telling you. No, comprehend. Look. Brother Don Hawkins, I used you a couple times. I praise the Lord. You were doing an incredible job. But listen, he knows this. A new parking lot is not going to change Cross Point Baptist Church. Oh, to help, sure, bring people in, see where we're parking. Coffee, great, good. Some of you are struggling, not falling asleep right now. I'm telling you, I'm going to get a little caffeine in you, then you won't even have an excuse at all. Get that coffee in there, great, good. Maybe we'll all get here on time, because that coffee shop will be open until 9:25, then we're cutting it off. You're cut off. I said you're cut off, okay? So you got to get here early. Let's be honest, really? That's what we're going to rely on? You know, there's a lot of churches nowadays that's what they're putting their hope in. Whew, if we could just, oh, Pastor Chris, if we could just get some fog machines up here. Oh, man. If the next time Brother John Habing sings, if we could have him fly down from the up above and just be floating in as he sings. Oh, wouldn't that just be fantastic? We'll bring them in by the busloads. Sometimes there's a lot of churches. I actually kind of like to see that. But there's a lot of churches, but Titus, that's what they're doing. Those of you who are watching live stream, Brother George makes it so fun in here. You got to join us. It's not the same. You got to be in here. You got to be in. And put it this way. Getting a politician in would be wonderful. It would be great. Getting a coffee shop, can't wait. It's going to be incredible. To greet our visitors, for us to all fellowship out there, fantastic. To get some updated paint in here, it's going to be great. We've got some baseboard coming in this week, or next week, I remember. It's going to be just incredible. It's going to be fantastic. Well, just tell you something. My faith and hope is not in a parking lot or a coffee shop or baseboard or some updated paint. Our faith has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ and what it's really truly going to take for America to start getting back, not back to 1980. I'm talking about getting our hearts right and restoring marriages and having Bible colleges blow up because so many college students just are on fire for God and just want to be used in any capacity. Friend, what it is going to take is not a politician or a coffee shop or some fresh paint. It is going to take you and I getting down on our face before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and saying, God, I am hearing from you. I'm hearing from you in my car and in my house. I'm hearing from you as you're speaking to me throughout the day and each and every day. And what God is saying is this, now you are meeting with me. I have something of importance to tell you. But before I do, you have to comprehend, I am the God who has always lived. Take off your shoes, for where you are standing is holy ground. Now watch very carefully. Watch, listen now. And when Moses heard from God, his attitude was not, finally, his attitude was not, well, I don't know about this. No, here's his attitude. I am going to hit my face. Because you are worthy. What are you living for tomorrow? What's your goals? Where's God talking to you? What's it going to take for you and I this morning to say, okay, okay, Jesus, you got my attention. Now, God, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. I believe, parents, that it shows the next generation who we're putting first when we hit our knees. Teenagers, there's some of you in this very room. You know God's talking to you. You know deep down, you can't fake it forever. He's talking to you. What's it going to take, church? To say, Lord, I know it's you. Circumstances are weird. Not at a high right now. Not the best time of my life. Just kind of going through. Doing my thing. Hey, moms, you just keep doing your thing. But he's ready to talk to you.
Hey, dads, you just keep doing your thing. But he's talking to you. And that power that kept that bush burning so it wouldn't consume is the same power that you and I can tap into today. It's power that will never go out. No matter what storm comes, he's got you. Wow, a shocking call.